Welcome to Conversations on Big Data, a series of discussions with agency leaders about the power of analytics to enhance how federal agencies meet their mission. In this podcast, we'll be discussing the use of data analytics at the Recovery, Accountability, and Transparency Board.
Welcome back to our conversation on data analytics with Steve Belts. Steve is Assistant Director of the Recovery Operations Center of the Recovery, Accountability, and Transparency Board, often called the RAT Board. I'm Laura Shane, Vice President for Research and Communications at the Partnership for Public Service, and I'm here with Brian Murrow, Associate Partner of Strategy and Analytics at IBM. So, Steve, in your experience, what are the most important ingredients for a successful analytics program?
I use what I refer to as a three-legged stool approach. You have to have good data, good analysts, and good tools. If you're missing just one of those components, you're going to sell yourself very short on the program and not be able to do full analysis. The analysis process itself, the analysts, it's a full-time job, and a lot of agencies are having to, because of budgetary issues and time, and are having people wear multiple hats. So you've got an agent that's not only out investigating it, but also trying to come back and do the analysis as well. And then they have their limitations on what data they have access to. A lot of agencies are dealing with legacy data that's been around for a long time, and it's archived and not really very accessible, and or their current data hasn't really been built for analysis. But you can have the best data in the world and the best tools in the world. If you don't have the right person that knows how to ask the right questions, you'll get nothing. Even though the tools organize the data really nicely, somebody has to know how to understand what the answer is and then dig deeper.
Where do you find people with that skill set? This is a question I am asked all the time.
It's a question I get asked all the time. I kind of gave up trying to find people that know how to use particular tools and or even have a huge background in analysis, because this is such a new field, it's very rare to find somebody with that kind of skill set and or has used our particular tools. So I'll look for personality, somebody that's very trainable, very personal. I know it's going to get along with everybody in the office. If they can't get along with other people, it causes more problems than it helps, even though they're very intelligent folks.
I imagine they have to be very collaborative. They've got to work with the agent, you know, and they may need access to a new data set.
It leads to a good question is the agents often don't know what they need. And so it's the analyst that has to guide them through that. They really reach out to the agent to dig deeper on it to see what they need. I can have a really good analyst sit down with some good data and good tools and build a link chart that would take up your whole wall. But that's too much information. So we don't want to work in a vacuum.
So what aspects of data collection do you enjoy the most?
Well, this kind of leads to a management style. My management style is I call it a bookend approach. So at one end of the bookend, we have a certain way that we have to collect the data or manage the data. And at the other end, we have a certain way we have to report it. But in the middle, it's a very creative process. I can sit down two analysts and they'll find the same information, but they'll take a totally different approach. It's hard to train because there's people want to sit down and have check boxes and go, they 1, 2, 3, 4, ABC, and it doesn't happen. I used to work at the State Department in the computer forensics, and we had a brand new analyst straight out of college, and she had a brand new case that was assigned to her as a test case and for her training. And she had one senior analyst sit down with her and said, well, how would you walk through this? And he walked through it a certain way and found this information. And then next week she had me sit down with her, and she got really frustrated because we were not approaching it the same way. We both found the exact same thing, but we did that creative process that, again, it's you have to know how to ask questions to the data. So with my analysts, I like them to be able to get into the zone and do their own thing, and it works very well. They're not on their own. Whatever they find, it's got to go to a peer review, and then it's got to go to a supervisor review, and then to me for the final sign-off. So it's not we're not leaving them hanging out there
right
by themselves, but I like to let them do their thing.
You mentioned that about 70 different IG offices have come through your office seeking help with their investigations and your help with training.
Mm-hmm.
What have been some of the results of that?
Case support-wise, we're up to over 200 cases a year. We build these intelligence packets, and we've heard lots of good stories of, hey, we were able to take this to the prosecutor, but they end up pleading out or just using our data to get the information that they need to build their packets. We've seen some really good results with that. It's nice to see these agencies, these larger agencies that have the resources to stand up these kind of units, come to us to replicate what we do and to ask for help on this kind of investigations.
So how do you help other agencies measure the right things?
That's kind of my job. My analysts analyze and support the agents, but it's my job to analyze what we're doing and making sure we're being productive with our resources. Just like I said, we had over 200 investigations we supported. That sounds pretty cool, but what does that mean? What really is important is how large is the data sets are we analyzing? And I can give one analyst a case that's going to take 2 months and a lot of digging to do, and it's going to be a great investigation. But in 2 months, they're going to finish one case, where I can give other analysts some smaller cases, and they're going to finish 20. So on the surface, it says, well, this analyst is really doing very well, and I show them how to really get kind of behind those surface numbers is what I like to refer to them as, so they can understand what it is that their analysts are actually doing.
So you've got a chance to use a lot of different software through your testing process. How has that played out for you in terms of actually doing analysis on the data?
It's been very interesting because every company comes with their own canned presentation. And up front, it looks very good, and the data analyzes their data very well. But when we go to release it on our 80 million records, most of them have a tendency to choke a little bit. There was another interesting aspect to the tools that it was, from my perspective, was a little strange because they took a kind of a Google approach to their data analysis. So when they're trying to look at data, they're trying to show us where most of the information is. That's not what we're looking for. We're looking for those outliers, those things that are said only once or twice or done only once or twice. A great example is that is we get cases where we have 50,000 emails they want us to examine because of a fraud situation. We've got a federal employee that's way too close to an accusation of being too close with the contracting company, kind of favoritism kind of thing. But a good case would be where the federal agent gets a tip that, hey, they're looking at me. So he'll send one email to that contracting person and say, hey, I'm being looked at. Delete all your email or keep it low profile or something. They're only going to say that once. The software is getting very interesting from its own graphical standpoint. It'll build like these galaxy views and 3D views where we can see big, and then you'll see these little outliers, little teeny tiny peaks off by themselves. And those are the things we're interested in, and we'll zoom in on those and find out what's being said in that area. So the data, the software is getting very good. The biggest problem right now is handling large amounts of data.
This has been a conversation with Steve Belts, Assistant Director of the Recovery Operations Center of the Recovery Accountability and Transparency Board. I'm Brian Murrow from IBM, here with Laura Shane from the Partnership for Public Service. We hope you return for the third in this series of podcasts with Steve Belts on using data for decision making.
These podcasts are presented by the Partnership for Public Service and the IBM Center for the Business of Government. To listen to conversations with other agency leaders, visit ourpublicservice.org/bigdata.